Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
Some kid gave me a piece of candy as they were leaving, and I can't appreciate that more. Set it right here. Yeah, that's fantastic. She's so sweet. So we've been in the book of John for the last couple weeks, and this week we knew the Fall Festival would bring several visitors, and this passage that we're going to look at today comes right after a very familiar passage where Jesus feeds 5,000 with bread and fish, and I kept praying, God, let me preach on that, and He said, no, I want you to preach on what's past that, and I said, but that's a pretty difficult passage. He said, yeah, they can handle it. Just make sure that you're clear. So that's my hope today, is that as we get into John chapter 6, that I would be clear, but then more importantly, my prayer is that God would speak to you in your heart today as we walk through what can be looked at as a difficult passage, but as we hopefully at this point in your walk with Christ, you recognize that sometimes when Scripture is difficult, it's because it pushes us to be something that we're not, and we need to do that hard thing. We need to make that move forward. And so I think that's what God really wants us to do here. We've been in John for a couple weeks now, and we've gone through these incredible stories where Jesus met someone on a personal level and revealed to him who he was as the Son of God. He was very clear to these people, but not in a very public way, but in a very private, very small way. Because the book of John is all about John wrote it so that we would believe, right? He writes the purpose for the whole book at the end of the gospel so that we might believe who Jesus is, so that those of us who have not known Christ as Savior would know who he is and what he came to do for us. But then for those of us who are in the faith, that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened in knowing who he is. And so all of these events that we've looked at up to this point in John chapter 6 are leading us somewhere where Jesus is ready to start taking people deeper at a larger, more public level, right? He's fed 5,000 people. He's given them physical food, physical bread for them to sustain themselves for a moment. And as people typically are, they become hungry again. And they turn to God and say, provide for us again, right? They know the story of God taking the people through the wilderness and providing manna to them. And so they just think that's just what God does. He provides for our physical needs. And so we're just going to go find Jesus and ask him for lunch again. But Jesus turns it around and challenges them. And by extension, us, who would come after, who would want to follow him. Not to chase after bread that perishes, but to find true bread that endures. That's what we're going to look like. And then he makes one of his boldest claims up to this point. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. And so this morning, we're going to unpack what that means, what Jesus meant by that statement, and why it was so offensive to so many who would listen, and yet why it's such good news to them and to us this morning. And so it got me thinking about bread and hunger, right? A lot of people in my family hate it about me, but I am an eat for function kind of person. I don't care about food. I will starve anybody that's with me. If we're doing on a project, you can ask my buddy Jesse, who's here, right? All the stories that I've told about Jesse, he's here, he's real. Ask him anything you want. But we have done many projects together, and there have been many times where he just finally stops and goes, listen, I'm going to die. I haven't eaten, and I can't even remember how long. We have to stop right now. And I go, oh, okay, how long has it been? He's like, I don't know, 4 days. And I don't get that. But God blessed me with a child who is always hungry. Her name is Zoe, and she, from the moment she could say, I think her first words actually were, what's for dinner? And every day, it never fails, she says, what's for dinner? And we've never not fed her dinner, okay? Right? I mean, I don't know. She doesn't maybe not believe it. Maybe there's been some times where things got away from us, but she's always hungry. She's just constantly thinking about that. And it got me to thinking, like, the world is always hungry. It's something that's built inside of us, right? I can't tell you how much I want to eat this piece of candy right now. That's a wrong kind of hunger. Jesus wants to understand that, to separate these two types of hunger, right? For us, this temporary hunger is hunger for more status, more money, more experiences, more things, more likes on our social media platform, more affirmation of who we are. These are the things that our nature desires. And the question that Jesus asks them is not necessarily, are you hungry, but what are you hungry for? What is it that is driving you? And if you imagine yourself sitting in this crowd of people who have just been fed by Jesus, that physical nourishment, imagine you're one of them sitting there on this green hillside, eating your fill of bread and fish, and you're satisfied. You've never experienced anything like this where it seemingly as much as possible, you don't have any idea where it came from. Instead of seeing that sign, right, think about the next few moments. Instead of seeing that sign for what it was, right, the truth of who Jesus is as the provider for all things, you become fixated on the bread, that nourishment that took place for a moment. That's what's happened with these people. They see the bread, they get the bread, they eat the bread, and then they're hungry again. Their stomach starts to rumble, and they start saying, hey, what's for dinner tomorrow? And so they go to Jesus and they say, hey, we want some more food. And Jesus hits them with something that they were not expecting. And so today, my whole hope for you is that you would hear this one thing, this big idea, this thing that I want you to talk about at Fall Festival and throughout the week. It's simply this, that Jesus doesn't just give bread. He is the giver of life. And that's a statement, absolutely, but it's something that you can really dig into, because a lot of times we run to Jesus because of what he might be able to give us, right? That temporary fulfillment instead of the eternal life that we truly are searching for. So let me give you a little bit of the history of what's happening in this moment, right? John notes that the feeding of the 5,000, it actually happened at a specific and very significant time of Passover, right? And that's not just a timestamp to give you a general understanding of the setting, right? That's a very important thing, right? The Passover was a feast that was celebrating God's deliverance of his people out of slavery in Egypt, right? And then his provision for them in the wilderness. This is a very important, to this day, very important Jewish celebration. And so when Jesus starts talking about bread from heaven, it clicks to them what he's talking about, right? He's referencing this manna that God provided, right? That's all at the forefront of their mind. And so they're recognizing and remembering Moses and the manna that God provided. And as a little bit of context, what they probably forgot is that right after God started giving them manna, the Israelites start complaining. They're not satisfied. They get tired of manna, right? This amazing, magical food that is just appearing for them every day. This blessing is probably magical food. It's not the right way to say it. But this blessing that God is providing every day, they get tired of it. They're like, can we please have a ham sandwich? That's my version. That's not actually in the scripture. But they're quickly, you know, unsatisfied. They want more. And for the Jews, that's kind of a very, as we look through the Old Testament, that's a very normal thing for them. God does this incredible, amazing blessing, and very quickly they turn and go, we want more. What have you done for me lately? Right? And then that extended to the Messiah, right? The Jews expected the Messiah. They expected him to be this new Moses figure who would provide manna again. And so when Jesus feeds the 5,000 in this moment, they say, oh, maybe it's him. Maybe he's the one that's going to provide for our every need, provide us lunch all the time. And Jesus has so much more for him. So as we opened our passage today. John chapter 6, verse 22 is where we're going to be. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles under the seats. You are welcome to take that. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we want to make sure that you do get that and can take that with you. So feel free. We won't chase you down in the parking lot if you try to take one of our Bibles. In fact, it's for you. It is a gift for you if you need it. But we're going to open up into John chapter 6, verse 22 this morning as we look at this interaction that Jesus has when the crowds come to him after this incredible miracle, asking for more food. It says this: the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." There is so much just in that short passage there that we could unpack for hours, right? We could stay here for a really long time, and I'm not going to do that for you today because, you know, that's not nice. But there's so much here that we could really unpack. And so the challenge for me this week is really just to open your eyes to this passage and hope that you would go back to it. Okay, and every Sunday I give next steps. If you're new with us, I give you something to do throughout the week that takes the thing that we've learned and puts it into action in your life. I want to tell you already, one of the next steps is to go back to this passage. Go look in that, because I can't possibly cover all that is needed to be covered this morning in the amount of time that I want to speak for. But go back to it. But what we can dig out of this very quickly is that the crowd goes looking for Jesus and is immediately, they expose their motives. They're hungry. They want food because of what Jesus gave them on the hillside. And Jesus recognizes and confronts them with their wrong motives very quickly. He lets them know, you know, you're hungry, but it's for the wrong thing. You're spending all of your energy trying to find me so that I can give you a sandwich, when really you're missing the greater eternal gift that I have come to bring. They wanted to get their stomachs filled, but their problem solved and their temporary needs met, and Jesus wanted to give them so much more. I go often in my house to the pantry because I have something. Yeah, like I'm like, oh, I'm a little hungry, right? Probably because I haven't eaten in a day or two. And I open the pantry door and I look at all of these wonderful foods. Now, we do have a lot of snacks at our house, and mostly that's because of me. I'm a snacker. And none of them are healthy, but I'm trying very hard to be more healthy. And so I look at all these wonderful snacks, and that's what I want, but that's not what I need. And so I end up shutting the pantry, and it makes me sad because I want the cheese nips and the goldfish and the Twizzlers and the gummies and all of the things that seventh grade boys eat, which is still my appetite. But I know that it's not right for me, right? I can feel that in my waistline. I can feel it in all the other things about me, but I still have that desire there, right? I would always rather have a giant bag of candy over an apple, okay? And that's, maybe some of you are getting it, and some of you are like, well, what's wrong with you? I don't know. But for the people here in this story, the problem is not their hunger, it's their craving. It's what they're feeling that they want. They don't recognize the true need that they have. And a lot of us are the same way, right? We crave comfort. We crave entertainment. We crave security more than the bread of life that is offered by Jesus. And so we spend our lives trying to procure all of that, and we miss out on what Jesus has to offer. So Jesus challenges us to examine our appetites, to examine what we really are hungry for, and to adjust that to his will. He wants us to ask the question, are we more interested in what we can get out of him than the eternal fulfillment that we get through him? That deep spiritual hunger that you might be feeling, you're trying to satisfy it with something that is physical and temporary. And Jesus is here to say that there's nothing you can do to fill that void that you've been searching your whole life to fill except for him. He's the only one that can fill it. So let's look in verse 34 as we keep going. He says, they say, sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those who he has given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. So the heart of this passage is there in verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. That's the first of John's account of these seven I am statements that Jesus makes throughout his gospel, each revealing his divine identity, that he truly is God. That's a powerful statement. And again, that I am statement, it echoes the words that God revealed to Moses on the mountaintop, right? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you me to you. I am is an incredibly powerful statement in the Jewish culture because it's God speaking who he is. They didn't say, no one in the Jewish culture would ever say I am because it was the word of God. It was the breath of God. And so they were very careful. And so Jesus saying this is it's a step back for everybody that's listening. And Jesus isn't saying I have bread. I know where to go. He's saying I am that bread. I am the essential and eternal nourishment for your soul. And whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Notice those words, right? The verbs that are in that statement in verse 35, it says, whoever comes to me and whoever believes in me. This is a call to response. These action words are a call to our response. The eating of this bread is not about a ritual. It's not about a legal system. It's about simply trusting and receiving by faith Jesus. Bread, and he uses this term bread because everybody understands bread, right? There's nobody in this room that is like, bread, man, what is bread? I've never seen bread. We've all had sandwiches. We all understand bread, and that's universal. They get what bread is. Every culture has it. And Jesus uses this illustration to show the universal need of all humanity, that hunger that we have to fill the void in our lives, that sin that sin has created. And to come to Jesus is to believe in him, to take him into your life as the very sustenance that you live on. Eternal life is not just this future hope that we have. It begins in us the moment that we believe. And Jesus wants us to understand that he is that bread of life, and we will no longer have need for that eternal longing that we have. That's what we have to understand here. He continues in verse 41. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? But Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone who has ever seen the Father, only I who was sent from God have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. And so we see the people, they're here, they're listening, and they're misunderstanding a lot of these statements, and they start to grumble amongst themselves. Jesus, of course, knows this, that they're offended that he has called himself divine, that he has called himself God. And they couldn't reconcile in their minds how this guy who came from a carpenter's son, you know, is the son of a carpenter, and married just this young girl, how could he be something extraordinary? How could he make this claim? And this is often the sticking point for a lot of people today, that they're just like, Jesus was born of a woman like everybody else. But he's so much more to that. Jesus's claims are exclusive, absolute, and very, very personal. But yet many people stumble over some of the details that they don't fully understand. And Jesus, understanding this, presses in and doubles down on the truth in verse 51, where he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Again, he's getting into some areas that are getting a little bit weird. We're going to talk about that in a few seconds. But he's pointing specifically here to what he's about to do, that he's about to go to the cross. He's about to sacrifice himself. Prophesying here in this moment, don't miss this, he's prophesying here that he will die, that he will be put to death, and that he will be raised back up. His life will be given as a sacrifice for our sin, for our greatest need. And this is amazing, and a lot of times we read past this quickly and we don't catch the beauty of within this statement. But the gospel always confronts our assumptions about who Jesus is and answers those questions if we're willing to meditate on it and to truly read it and take it in. Faith is not based on seeing, but truly believing God's revelation. And our grumbling reveals an unwillingness to surrender who Jesus really is. And a lot of times it comes from misunderstanding. I was actually on a plane yesterday talking to a lady, and she was from a different faith, and she was giving me all of the reasons why she didn't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. And most of them came from a misunderstanding of Scripture that somebody had given to her. She had not gone into the Scripture herself to test it. And all I did was come and see, right? That same thing that I've been telling you for weeks is what we see in John is you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to say, come and see. Let's test truly what God says, which means you got to get into the Word and test it for yourself, right? If you have questions and you're grumbling about the things that you feel you've been slighted at by God or you've been hurt, it's probably because you have a misunderstanding of what he truly is. And Jesus is saying, let me be very clear about who I am. I didn't come just to make your life great. I came to save your eternal soul, to meet your greatest need. That's so much more. And then Jesus' next address to the people is a very eye-opening and essentially weird statement, but it's incredibly powerful. And what you see is this crowd that has gathered around him starts to hear things that they don't like, and they start backing out. And Jesus is doing that intentionally. He wants people to fully follow him. So read with me in verse 52. It says, then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So now, this is the part where I was like, okay, if there's some people in here that don't always go to church, this is going to be a passage that you're like, what are we about to have for lunch? Okay, I get it. Okay, so hang on a second. Okay, let me explain why cannibalism is not the thing that Jesus is talking about here. Okay, just hang with me. Verse 53, that eat my flesh and drink my blood, that is shocking, absolutely. Offensive to the Jews and to regular people, absolutely. But just hang on a second. Levitical law, right? So for the Jews, they held to the Levitical law of what Moses had given them, is how to eat and how to live and what to touch and what not to touch, all those different things. And it strictly forbade consuming blood. I think that's a good rule still, okay? Just again, so we're clear. It's a good rule. And so Jesus' words about drinking his blood is a very offensive, even blasphemous thing to many of them. But he wasn't calling them to actual cannibalism. He's pointing them forward to the cross, to see what we now know as the Lord's Supper, right? That we remember as we do every month, including next week, we're going to sit down and we're going to have the communion table out here. We're going to have communion where we remember the body that was broken of Jesus, and we drink the cup that represents the blood that was shed for us. Jesus is pointing us to that, right? Where his body and blood were given for the life of the world, right? That was the purpose. And when we accept that, we become a part of who we are. You've heard the statement, you are what you eat. Okay, that's what's happening here. The early church, they practiced the Lord's Supper regularly, right? After Jesus went to the cross and was resurrected and then ascended into heaven, he gave the command to regularly practice and remember that moment so that they would never forget, so it would continue to build up in them the faith that he wanted them to move forward into the world. And so they understood, this passage was the central understanding for that event. But in this moment, the people don't get that. But his point is so much broader. It is about truly abiding in Christ, feeding on him daily, not just in his ritual moment. Jesus' words remind us that we should be following him with our whole life, not just nibbling on the religion of the world, fully feeding on him, fully making what he is, who we are, so that we can be his representatives to the world. He's saying that faith is not this passive thing that we take and it becomes this private thing in us that we don't share with anybody, but it's active dependence. It's as just as we eat and drink for life and for sustenance, we need to abide in him for that same life, right? We live in daily in union with Christ, sustained by his Spirit, because he doesn't just give us bread. He is the giver of life. And I know that I've given you a lot over the last few minutes, and we're wrapping up quickly here, but I just want to give you a few more things. I want to give you a quick summary of where we've been and then just touch a little bit more into how I know that Jesus wasn't talking about actual flesh and actual blood, because there's a lot of people out there that believe that that is a very literal statement. I'm going to show you that as this continued on, as his disciples asked this question, because they were all very confused, Jesus had a great response to it. But let me give you first this. We've been talking a lot about bread. And so I thought that, you know, as we summarize what I just talked about so that you can go back and kind of dig into it yourself this week, I give you a recipe for the best bread, okay? Just, I don't know, it was dumb. I was sitting at my desk and I was like, I think this will be fun. So here's the summary. Without saying summary, and it doesn't matter. Substitute perishable items for the eternal one. That's the first part, right? In verses 22 through 34, that was his message. And that passage forces us to ask, what am I feeding on? Is it social media? Is that where I'm getting my food? Is it my career achievements? Is it the entertainment of my world? Because none of those can satisfy. Jesus says, this is not what you need for eternal life. I am. And then number two is to see and believe in Jesus alone. This is what verses 35 to 40 was about, that Jesus alone is the giver of life, the eternal life, that you can try your whole life to fill that void, but it'll never satisfy. And number three, we talked about in verses 41 to 51, to remove grumbling and resistance. It's in our nature to want immediate gratification. It's in our nature to constantly get what we can't afford, it's why as a country we're buried in financial debt. It's that's just in our nature. As a culture, it's why we're generally awful to one another, because we just are trying to get ours. We think we know what's best, when in reality, we are missing the one who truly fulfills every need. And finally, verses 52 to 59, eat and enjoy for eternity. To feed on Jesus means to trust him daily, to take him at his word into our hearts, to commune with him in prayer. It's not a one-time meal. This is a lifestyle of dependence. And that brings us again to our next steps, right? The things that I want you to do. The first thing is to take a look at your bread's ingredients. Take a look at your recipe. You know, when you feel the urge this week to reach for something that's not going to satisfy you, that historically in your life you have reached to fill whatever void it is that's inside of you, take a moment and stop. Whether it's food, whether it's scrolling, whether it's shopping, instead pause and pray that, Jesus, you are my bread of life. Take that moment and then feed daily on God's word. Don't let today be the only day that your Bible is open. Don't let today be the only day that you think about things that are of greater importance. Don't spend the rest of your week just simply working for the things that will perish tomorrow. Because as we've seen in John chapter 6, these words aren't easy to swallow, right? These words are very difficult to understand. And for many in the crowd, this was too much, right? They chose to walk away. And then Jesus' disciples leaned in and said, Jesus, you got to help us out and understand that. And Jesus challenges them, are you going to walk away from me too? In verse 68, Simon Peter replied after Jesus said, Lord, what does this all mean? And this group leaves and they, you know, think about this, right? One of the hardest things is as you're gathering a group, because again, in this world, a large group is a very positive thing. All of a sudden, this huge crowd of people starts to walk away and the disciples are like, oh, Jesus is losing it. He's gaining this huge thing. And all of a sudden, now he's losing it. And so they're panicking a little bit. And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, are you going to leave too? And Simon replies, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. That is the heart of faith. We may not understand everything. We may not fully get it all. But we understand that God has called us to obedience. Obedience that's going to cost us. And so when you look at this passage, it's tricky because Jesus in verse 63 says the words are spirit and life. He admits here that it's not a literal eating and drinking. It's a spiritual thing. He wants us all in. He wants us to be his followers. It's why I say, instead of Christian, I like to say Christ follower, because it involves an action. It shows that it's doing something inside of us that's causing us to move. And it's not the action that saves us, but it's because of the salvation that causes us to move. And so the question for us this week is simple for each and every one of us. Will we be like the crowd? Will we walk away when things get hard, when Jesus asks a lot of us? Or will we be like Peter? Are we going to cling to Jesus only because he is the only one who brings true eternal life? That's my prayer for us today, that we would make that declaration, that we would say, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. You are my bread, you are my life, you are my hope, and you are my everything. That's what I want for you today. And if that's something that you've never done, then I would beg you to come have a conversation with me. We have a lot of time after service today, so you're not going to bother me, you're not going to cause any problems. Just come say, hey, I've got some questions. I would love to have a conversation with you. We have a lot of people around this room that would love to have a conversation with you. Make this time where the kids are playing and they're having a good time and we're having food, make it intentional. Don't let this moment pass, because it might change your eternity. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you so much that you are the bread of life. And we confess, Lord, that we often chase the things that don't satisfy, these temporary things that waste away. Lord, forgive us. We thank you for the challenge of your word, We thank you, Lord, that you are the true bread of life. Help us to believe, even when we struggle to understand, Lord, that you are the one who gives life that lasts forever. Father, I pray for those in this room who would have not placed their faith and trust in you. God, that you would stir in their hearts this morning for more. God, that hunger would build up inside of them to the point where they ask and take that next step of faith to follow you in salvation. And I pray that you would move today through the power of your Holy Spirit. We give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.